Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the CIR 2023 half-year results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Rodolfo De Benedetti, Chairman of CIR. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I will, as usual, go through the document that we uploaded on the website, starting on page 4, where we have we have put in the highlight for the first half. So we closed on June 28th the sale of the Indian subsidiary of what was formerly Medipass, which, as you might remember, was left from the sale of Medipass, and we sold it for an enterprise value of 21.6 million, which is slightly above our book value. And this basically completes the exit from the diagnostic sector, as we were engaged to do. We also closed on a couple of buildings for 38, this is the second one is the CIR's real estate investment, where we have announced last December the divestiture. As we said, a number of conditions needed to be met for the closing to happen. We foresee the closing to happen in the last quarter of this year, and the amount that was agreed with the buyer is 38 million, and so that will be booked in the last quarter of the year. And during the first half, we bought back 19.3 million treasury shares, which is 1.75, which brings our own shares on at about 4% today. In terms of the P&L, I will maybe not comment on the consolidated numbers, but go directly to the at the subsidiary level, because I think it makes more sense. So cost sales were up close to 10% in the first half, with quite a significant increase in revenues, both in Italy and in Germany, as we will see later, with a significant increase in the profitability on the Italian business. Less so on the German one, but we'll get to there later. And so JFE was able to increase sales by close to 13%, which is pretty much in line with the market, a bit better in outside of Europe, a bit worse in Europe compared to the market performance. Our net result as year was 14 million profit, thanks to a strong contribution from Sogefi, which had a stellar second quarter, and 17.7 million of contribution to our P&L in the first half. And costs turned positive compared to last year's results, which were negative, and as we will see, with a significantly better performance in Italy, which was balanced by a still negative performance in terms of P&L in Germany. Holding company results have improved because of the financial assets recovery, which, as you might recall, were negatively impacted in the first half of last year, and we had a slightly positive contribution in the first 6 months of this year. Substantially better net financial position, negative 33 million at a consolidated level, which is almost 50 million increase from last December. And this is mainly both operational subsidiaries have contributed with a significant cash flow, which has reduced their net financial position. In terms of outlook, we are reasonably happy with the progress at COS. As you know, we have a plan to bring this activity's profitability back to the pre-COVID levels. We are there basically in the acute and rehab division. We will be there by next year in nursing homes, but the margins have increased in a meaningful way on the Italian side in the first half of the year, and it will take some more time for Germany's business to basically incorporate price increases, which will compensate for the higher cost that we're experiencing. So Sogefi, as I said, had a very good result. We'll see that later. And so we expect to have for the year a substantially better result than what we had last year. Going to page six, you have the consolidated number on the left side. I'm not sure that it's really relevant because we're mixing the two businesses, but that is basically the bottom line that I mentioned earlier, which is 14 million profit. We were able to increase revenues almost double digit in both businesses in the first half. We experienced better financial results at the holding company level, so positive 1 million compared to negative 5 million last year. You have on the lower right the composition of net income with the contribution from the two operating businesses as well as from the holding company. On page 7, you have the consolidated net financial position, where as you can see, you have lower debts both at the COS and Sogefi's level, combined about 50 million, and substantially same number, slightly lower at the holding company level, and you have and basically the main absorption of cash in the period was the buyback of CHIR shares, where we invested about 8 million euros in the first 6 months of the year. You also have the IFRS 16 compliant net financial position on the lower end side, on the left side, where you see that the bulk of the difference is within cost because of the fact that we use real estate, which is predominantly not owned by us, and which becomes you know, negative NFP in with applying IFRS 16. In terms of the reduction of debt at the subsidiary level, COS had a debt reduction of 16.4 million. This was basically the sum of asset disposal, two greenfield buildings, as well as the Indian business for 36 million, partly compensated by negative working capital absorption of 25 million. We believe most of that will be reversed still this year, the working capital absorption, so that should contribute to a stronger cash flow generation in the second part of the year. And so JFE reduced its net financial position by close to 40 million thanks to cash generation. And you have the bridge in terms of the consolidated numbers on the lower right side of page 7 with the details that I mentioned earlier. Page 8, simplified balance sheet. So the book value of our two operating businesses is now 350 million, up from 335, basically incorporating the first 6 month results. Private equity is pretty much in line with the end of last year, and other investment is slightly lower. So as you can see, the net cash at the holding company level is 314, and you have on the right-hand side a bridge from end of December. There are no major changes, as I said, the biggest one being close to 8 million invested in buying back our own shares, which we're doing on a consistent basis according to the Italian regulations and doing what we are allowed to do in terms of percentage of volumes traded. Going on to the operating businesses on page 10, you have a few numbers for costs. In terms of number of beds, we've continued to increase the number of beds basically executing on the greenfield pipeline. On page 11, you have the full P&L of costs, where, as you can see, sales were up to 370 million. EBITDA increased to 65 million from 55, same period last year. And as you can see, we are now above the first half of 19 levels. EBITDA pre IFRS 16 was still lower, but better, 8 million better than last year, and EBIT was double the number of last year. I think what is relevant here to note is that this was done taking into account the end of the public support both in Italy and Germany that, as you know, happened last year. And so last year's numbers still include a significant number for public subsidies, while this year number includes a leftover on the Italian side, but it's a much smaller number than it was in the last few years, and particularly last year. So in terms of quality of earnings, I would say, EBIT that goes from 10.7 to 20.8 is a significantly better quality EBIT this year than it was last year. And also the other comment that I would make is that this number is obviously a sum of both the Italian business and the German business. I think we see that later. But as you will see, the Italian business has had a significant progress in H1 23, which was unfortunately not matched by the same progress in Germany. And in absolute terms, Germany contributes to a negative number in terms of net profit, while Italy has a significantly better net profit number that was negatively compensated by Germany. You have on the bottom end, you have the real estate assets, where in terms of fair value, we own about 200 million euros of real estate assets, we have debt related to those assets, so this is mortgage on those real estate assets of close to 90 million, which means that the total debt of the company is very limited if you take into account the real estate debt. So when we compare ourselves to some of our peers, our leverage ratios are much more conservative, and we have a stronger balance sheet, which we think, given the environment we're living in terms of what happened with COVID at this business, how difficult it is today to refinance existing debt where leverage ratios are substantially higher. We're very comfortable with the balance sheet we have, and we have never experienced particular issues about financing or refinancing our balance sheet, which is not the situation in which some of our biggest competitors are presently. On page 12, you have some data on occupancy, both average and end of period, as well as revenues broken up in terms of the nursing home business, rehab, and acute care, both for Italy and for Germany. And as you can see, occupancy rates, which were a significant issue for us in the last couple of years, have increased quite substantially. In Italy, average from 77 to 86, and net end of period from 80 to 87. 87 is obviously an average, which is made up of a significant number of structure where we are, close to full capacity, and some in some regions where we still lag. On a like-for-like basis, we are at about 91%, because this includes startups, and so we are pretty happy about the pickup and the catch-up on occupancy on the Italian side. Germany also has experienced a pickup, not as strong, but still respectable, and there too there are a number of units that are in the ramp up phase, and so this number is obviously a sum of higher like for like numbers and which are a bit diluted by the new structures. On page 13, you have the results in terms of revenues and EBITDA and EBIT, broken down between Italy and Germany. And so if we go to the first half of the year, we had a pretty good increase in revenues on both sides of the business. But as you can see, there is a very significant gap in profitability, whereby Italy generates 25 million of EBIT, which is not yet where we should be, but reasonably close, and we are compared to our plan, we are tracking ahead of plan in that catch up, while Germany is doing worst in terms of EBIT. This is mainly due to the end of the public subsidies and the fact that while revenues have increased because prices have increased, but unfortunately not enough to compensate cost increases, which have been much higher in Germany than in Italy. So what we are working on unit by unit is to making sure that in the next quarters, tariffs track the real increase in cost that we have experienced. And, you know, we're confident that we'll get there. And obviously, it's a lot of work. It's not going to happen alone, but there is a very, you know, focused effort on behalf of all of our management, both in Italy and in Germany, to get there. On page 14, you have the Sogefi numbers. We had, as I said, a very good first half of the year with a net result which was 31.4 million, up from close to 21. No major changes in terms of both customer mix and geographic mix. We are, you know, slightly worse than the market in terms of growth in Europe, but much better in NAFTA and China. A big effort was done here to pass on cost increases to clients in terms of prices, and this shows in our margins and in our strong cash flow generation. We think that, you know, the year is going to see a total global car production up by about 5% compared to last year, so pretty stable compared to the first half. As you know, there is some seasonality in our business, so typically first half is stronger both in terms of revenues as well as margins as second half. But, you know, given where we are at half year level, we expect to have a higher profitability for the full year. On page 15, you have a breakdown of the results in terms of EBITDA on the three different businesses. I would say that the standout performer was filtration, which had a record first half and a record second quarter in terms of profitability and cash generation. Good performance on air and cooling. Still insufficient performance on suspensions, even though we see some signs of the beginning of a turnaround there. But I think this is going to be a long road. It's going to take time. We are in the process of renegotiating some large contracts with clients that were taken at prices which, you know, don't allow the company to make, you know, decent returns. And so that is really the biggest focus today is turning around the suspension division, and we expect that this is, you know, going to contribute in a meaningful way to the consolidated numbers. On page 17, we've just you know, summed up the main ESG objectives and KPIs, both for the holding company as well as for the two operating subsidiaries. And at this point, I would stop and open it up to your questions.
Excuse me, would like to start the Q&A session?
Yes, please.
So this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. We kindly ask to use handsets when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Martino De Ambrogi of Equita. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. My questions are on costs. The first one is on the EBITDA, just to understand if it includes any capital gain or subsidies, just to have a clean EBITDA as a starting point going forward. And the second is still on the profitability, because you are approaching between end of this year, beginning of next year, the full occupancy. So what is the normalized profitability you expect to achieve once you are back to the full occupancy? And you are mentioning in your press release that tariffs have to increase, specifically in Italy. What are your expectations for future negotiations?
Okay, Michele, do you want to take that?
Yeah. So EBITDA, we have no capital gain in the EBITDA. The two real estate buildings were greenfield buildings, so we sold them at cost. The sale of the Indian subsidiary generated a small capital gain, which was, however, in the below the line in the assets that held for sale. We're talking about 1 million. Subsidies in Italy, they were small last year and small this year, so maybe plus 1 million this year, but we're talking about something between 1 and 2% of Italian revenues. So not meaningful in either of the two periods. In Germany, as we commented in the past, subsidies were paid by the government up to the first half of 22. So we have a big difference there, because we had 13 million last year and only 1 million this year. So a net difference of 12 in Germany. With regards to normalized profitability, well, we cannot say what will be the end state for sure. But if you look at page 13, you can see it, you can see where we got in the three main regions. So in Italy, we're a couple of points below where we were in 19. We can still recover part of it thanks to a bit higher occupancy in the nursing homes. This could provide an uptick. We are going to have an increase in labor cost in the nursing home sector due to labor contract renewal, which happened in June this year. So we're going to see it starting in the next half of the year. This amounts to something between 7 and 8% of not the whole labor force, just the operatori sociosanitari. We think we can compensate this with the increase of occupancy that we think we're going to have in the second half of the year. In order to reach possibly the levels that we had in 19, we need process. We need the process of discussion of the tariffs, both in nursing homes and rehab, to yield positive results, because we have had inflation on the cost side so far, and a little bit of tariff adjustment, but not to the same extent. So there are many, of course, tables and discussions open at this point in time with the regions and the central government. It's hard to predict what the outcome will be and when. In Germany, as I've also commented earlier, we had a much steeper increase in costs, especially labor costs. Nurses, professional nurses, were taken up by close to 30%, and the German system provides for cost plus mechanism, so the tariffs have been adjusted. The process is, however, not instantaneous, in the sense that renegotiations happen at the individual structure level during the course of the year. So some structures might have a renegotiation of tariffs right after the contract has been renewed, the labor contract. Some others may have to wait up to 12 months. Plus, the cost plus has some kind of friction, especially when the cost increases are big. So you don't recover 100% at first round. Maybe you have to wait for the next round to have hopefully fully coverage of the cost inflation. So that's why you see in Germany, despite a big revenue increase, a deterioration of margins. But first of all, as we said, we have no subsidies anymore. And then the cost inflation has not been fully recovered at this point in time through the tariff renegotiation.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up from Martino De Ambrogi of Equita. Please go ahead.
There is another subject, which is Sogefi. You commented Sogefi had a stellar second quarter performance, while I would add the full year guidance is not so stellar. It's rather conservative. I'm sure you will stick to the official guidance justifying the reasons why it is conservative, but may I ask you if you are confident this could be better than at least for the current year, because next year is another story, but seems to be extremely conservative, the second half implicit in the full year guidance.
Well, I'm sure that you cannot expect me to have to give you a different guidance than the one that you had from the company. No, I think you know, the company gave a careful guidance for the year. I think it's a bit our habit to try to be prudent in the guidance we did. We always try to under-promise and over-deliver, and not the opposite. I think the reasons to be cautious are there because you know, a number of analysts have been expected a slowdown in Europe, GDP numbers are softer. The auto sales and productions have been quite strong in the first 6 months of the year. So to imagine that we're gonna see softer volumes for the rest of the year is not, frankly, so strange. And so I think that is one of the reasons of caution. There is also, you know, the other reason is volatility on raw material prices and difficult conversations and discussions with clients on pricing. And so I think all those things combined makes it for an environment which is still quite volatile and could be unpredictable. I think, you know, again, I would stick to that guidance. You know, making the comment that typically the company has done better than what it guided for. So I hope that this is going to be the case this time too.
Okay, thank you. And back to costs. You are showing a stronger financial structure, also thanks to divestitures. Is there any M&A opportunity, either in Italy or in Germany, which could arise and you could take advantage from?
Nothing that we are working on at this stage. We are really focusing our efforts on, you know, operating performance. We think that that's the most important thing. We, you know, there are and there will be, in our opinion, marginal players and even not too marginal players that will have financial difficulties. We know of some difficult refinancing conversations that are taking place in some companies throughout Europe in this business. And so, you know, our view is that one should not be in a hurry because there might be, you know, M&A opportunities down the road with people that don't really have a lot of options and that will need to sell assets. And so, you know, we're not actively pursuing any of those at this juncture.
Okay, and in a like-for-like basis scenario, what is the expected growth of beds through greenfields?
We have still a pipeline of a few hundreds per year over the next couple of years, which are already in construction. Probably a couple of hundreds in Italy, a couple of hundreds in Germany on an average basis.
Over the next 2 to 3 years or even longer?
The current pipeline, you can see we also showed on page 10, the current pipeline is 450 beds. So this is more in the next couple of years.
Okay, thank you.
We had obviously a few hundred beds coming into production this year.
But I would say as a general comment that, you know, we are much more focused and interested in increasing profitability and cash flow as opposed to increasing the top line. So, you know, whatever we do will be driven by that objective. We don't really care about increasing, you know, market share or number of beds or revenues. We really care about increasing the bottom line and the free cash flow generation.
Thank you. And very last, could you update what is the picture on the nurses shortage, both in Italy and in Germany, which seems to be still the most important issue?
In Italy, it's not that we can't find professional nurses. We do find them. However, we had to increase the salaries quite a bit in the last couple of years due to competition from the public sectors and not only. So this is the cost inflation that we were talking about earlier. In fact, when there was this contract renewal, this affected mainly the non-professional nurses because the professional nurses are already paid higher than the minimum salary. So even a contract renewal does not hit what they're paid today. So yes, we do have competition and increasing cost for the professional nurses, but no shortage, no real shortage yet. In Germany, the fact that we are not back to full occupancy is not related to demand, but it's actually related to staffing. So last year we have been stuck with almost flat occupancy for many months because we were not really able to hire. This year, after there was this big salary increase, it's better. We are able to hire. We would like to do it faster in order to increase occupancy faster. This is what we were able to do so far, and we think that this pace can be sustained over the next few quarters. There is also now a discussion at German level whether they should reduce the requirement of professional nurses per guest, so that this shortage of nurses is not so severe and the guests can be admitted in higher numbers versus what is happening today in the sector at large.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. De Benedetti, Mr. Cavigioli, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you very much for everybody that attended to this call.